Youth football is all about style and fun. And the NFL celebrates that through Play Football, an initiative aimed at creating positive experiences for players, coaches, and parents, with the goal of preserving and promoting the values of the game. On the football field, kids can continue to grow through teamwork and build trust as leaders. To learn more and to find a league near you, visit playfootball.com. The future of football is here. You in?
Accessing. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
There you go. Love it.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And you guys were wondering when I came in today, I'm like, we got a new drop. And you're like, when are we going to use it? Does it matter?
Oh, no.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Still to come. Georgia linebacker Nolan Smith. Sports radio legend Chris Mad Dog Russo. From HBO's Perry Mason. Actor Matthew Reese. And now it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. And we, man, that first hour flew by. Totally flew by as we're waiting for Aaron Rodgers to make a decision and talking about Lamar Jackson's decision that he's hoping to make pretty much his market as it's currently looking now 6 days before he will hit the open market, with the caveat of having a franchise tag on him that's non-exclusive from the Ravens. You can call us at 844-204-RICH. Mad Dog Russo is going to be joining us on the program in the middle of this hour. It's always a lot of fun to check in with him. The actor Matthew Reese from Perry Mason, The Americans, Brothers and Sisters, and more. He's in studio in hour number three. Chris Brockman, on a scale of 1 to Chris? 10, you and your Georgia Bulldog household, how much does Nolan Smith make Sarah Tiana and everyone else in the Georgia Bulldog family of yours happy?
Let's see. I say a 10. 10. But a back-to-back 10.
How about 10? Got it. 10 plus 4.39. So 14.39.
Can we get him much? Sarah get him on the Falcons?
I don't know. That's entirely possible. You never know. And he's joining us now fresh off of his dynamite combine on NFL Network that I was thrilled to be calling the great Nolan Smith here on the Rich Eisen Show from the Georgia Bulldog football program. How you doing, Nolan?
How you doing? Thank you for having me. It's a blessing to be on your show, and I'm just happy to be here. Talk a little bit about the great Georgia Bulldogs.
Now, I know you. Once you ran that 4.39, and were chatting to our colleague Stacey Dales, you turned NFL Network into a Georgia Bulldog, television recruiting program. That's pretty much what you did. On our air.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I try to recruit, we got to out recruit the other schools now, just because NIL, it's crazy now. Every school has their best offer against their best offer. So what can the school really offer and what can they bring? So that's what I try to bring to the light and tell people, other than the money, it's a lot fortunate things that Georgia can bring to you.
Well, and before we get to the trappings or trimmings or fixins that you mentioned on NFL Network, to me, obviously your teammates rooting you on as they did, that video that went viral of your teammates watching you run the 40-yard dash. And what did you think of when you saw that? I think we showed it to you on live NFL Network television, but I give you the floor a few days later, Nolan.
Yes, sir. That's just the connection piece at Georgia. Guys just cheer for other guys. We know each other's background. We know each other's stories. So we know how hard each other works for the goals. And one of my goals, I used to say, man, I want to run a 4.4 at the combine. And those guys seen those numbers and they were excited. They just didn't know when I was training, I blew those numbers through the water. So we had to make a new number.
No, but I think you saw the unofficial time being 4.44. Did you throw your phone in disgust when you did that? Did I see that on our air, Nolan?
Yes, sir. I kind of threw my phone in disgust just because I have tweaked my hamstring a little bit, and RC told me don't run again. That's my strength coach, my trainer. Mm-hmm. And when he said that, I just thought I could lay down a better time, and I just got upset, because they called it and they said, hey, I don't think you should run again. That was a really good race, and it looked good online.
And so you thought you didn't get your sub 4.4 and you weren't going to run it again, and that's why you were all upset and angry.
Yes, sir. Really it.
And then you found out you actually did run sub 4.4, right?
Yeah, Yeah, that made me excited. That changed my day when she told me my official time came in at 4:39.
Yes.
So I say, okay, that's a little better. That made my day a little better.
Okay.
She made me smile.
Well, Stacy Dales makes everyone smile. So and then that's when you started going into your recruiting pitch for Georgia. What's this new restaurant? What the heck was it?
Bones is an amazing restaurant. And, you know, we have a lot of things set up nicely at Georgia, not the indoor facility, but Bones is a new thing that's just added this year. We have our own restaurant in our facility. We got our own chef and everything, and it's just for the Georgia football team.
That's it. I couldn't come there. Could I be your plus one at Bones, Nolan?
No, you couldn't be my plus one at Bones. You had to be a part of that. Those guys in the locker room, that's the privilege of coming to Georgia. You eat at a beautiful restaurant for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And did I hear surf and turf's on the menu at Bones? Did I hear that too? Did I pick that one up?
Yeah, Fridays is surf and turf. Thursdays before, you know, the spring practices are on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. So on Thursdays, we usually have surf and turf. For the games, we do a little surf and turf or however. Whatever we really want that week. We talk to Miss C, Miss Coria gets it worked out, and we, you know, it's a restaurant, so we really can do anything. All menu is open.
Now, and I also understand, you know, teammates are teammates and everything like that, Nolan Smith. To me, Bones should be serving up whatever Darnell Washington wants to eat. That's pretty much the way I saw for the rest of the combine.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? Old number zero could push that sled, man. Oh, my God. I couldn't believe that, what I saw. What is that like being around him, Nolan?
Darnell's just a great guy. You know, we call him the Big O. Anything, he's our 6-0 lineman that can catch the ball, that's just athletic. That's what I call him. You know, one of those guys on the split zone that you don't want to look down that midline and see. You see Darnell coming, you better have your big boy pants on.
Yes, I would agree with that. He had a heck of a combine as well. So what was it like for you? I've got Nolan Smith here on the Rich Eisen Show. What was it like for you to watch your teammates play without you because you tore your pec last year?
Oh, it was exciting for me, mm-hmm. just because that's the goals that we work for in the summer. You know, we talk about going back-to-back national championships or really just playing 15 games because it's a privilege to play 15. You know, some people stop at 14, some people stop at 13. We always say it's a privilege to play 15 games. And when I was there with them and everyone accomplished the goals on the team, it just lit me up inside and I was just happy. My heart was just hurting from all the joy.
Well, and then, you know, to see you kissing the trophy there in Los Angeles, what was that like that night? Stetson's got the cigar lit and things like that for you.
Well, it was just one of those nights where you'll never forget. You got to be in that locker room. I try to tell people you can't explain it from outside looking in, but if you're in that locker room, no matter if you played or if you only play half of the season, that moment's just special to share with all you guys because that's what we work for. We work for to win team accomplishments like championships and something that you can put on the board or put your name up there forever that no one ever can take from you.
I've got Nolan Smith here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's get to your goals. What's your goal as a professional football player, Nolan? Let's get to it.
Oh, Super Bowls. That's what I want. You know, I'm a ring chaser. I can care less about individual accolades just because, you know, Tom Brady won all the Super Bowls and he's automatically in the Hall of Fame. So, you know, the things that carries a team and inside the players, I'm just looking for a great group of guys that just want to work, and I'm 100% able to find that in the National Football League.
And so who did you speak to at the Combine? How many teams do you think you speak to at the Combine?
Oh, I probably spoke to a lot, around 25 teams. My favorites, though, well, just because my childhood, those are my childhood favorites, and just watching those coaches now to see what they do, and now I have an opportunity to sit in front of them. You know, Pete Carroll, Mike Tomlin, and then the great Chiefs, their organization.
So you spoke to Tomlin?
Yes, sir. It was amazing. It was one of those moments that you'll never forget. And I still remember it. He told me, man, throw your bag down, you know, take a load off, be easy. We're just here to talk to you and get to know you. And it was just like one of those, like, man, he just doesn't know I'm officially here with him.
By the way, I've loved talking ball with Mike Tomlin whenever I have that opportunity, and because he just makes me want to, you know, hit somebody, and I don't do that professionally for a living. But I'll be honest with you, Nolan, they'll be lucky if you drop to 17. You know what I mean? That's where they're sitting. And so did you speak to Chicago? Do you speak to the Bears too?
Yes, sir. I spoke to the Bears organization. We have a lot of guys that came from the Bears. Roquan, you know, when we spoke to their organization, they just talked about how much they love Georgia players and just our program and what Coach Smart has built and what he's producing out of Georgia.
You speak to Houston? You speak to them? D'Amico Rines
yes,
in Houston?
Sir.
Arizona?
Yes, sir. I spoke to Houston. It was amazing. I talked to a lot of teams. All my interviews were amazing. I was just happy to talk to some of the best coaches in the world at their professions, talk ball with them.
And Arizona, Colts, you probably spoke to everybody, right? You mentioned Pete Carroll.
Yes, sir.
Seattle?
Yes, sir. I spoke to the Colts and the great Pete Carroll. It was one of those interviews where when I got to shake his hand, it was like, man, I really want to take a picture of my hand just to let my father know I just shook Pete Carroll's hand.
So what's your team growing up then? Is it the Falcons because you're from Savannah or you played for Georgia? Is it that simple? Or
yes, sir. I really just didn't have a team growing up, but I did cheer for the Falcons. I know a lot of people think I'm going to go there. I'm just blessed to go to any of these 32 teams. Whoever picks me up, just know they're getting a guy that likes to work and is just ready to play some football.
Nolan Smith here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, Nolan, before I let you go, after Georgia destroys TCU and wins the national championship, somebody stepped to a microphone and said the following words. They thought we were going to go 7-5. We end up perfect. I could talk trash now because I'm done. Who was that person, Nolan Smith, that said Georgia was going to go 7-5? Who is that person?
I have to say, you know, Coach Smart put it in our head early. You know, they don't want you to win again. And I say it I think Coach Smart said that.
So you're the one after the game who said they thought we were going to go 7-5, right?
Oh,
you?
Yeah, I said that.
You said that. You. And now I'm like, who said who? I need to know. I have not met a single person that thought Georgia would lose one game, let alone five, last year. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get it, Nolan.
You know, you got to put that self chip on your shoulder and now. For since day one, since we were running, that's the one thing that I said. Everyone want us to lose. Everyone, we got a target on our back, and Coach Smart said we will. We'll do the hunting. And so, you know, I try to make up my own little narrative, tell people, you know, they want us to go 7-5 just because a couple years ago, that's what Georgia did.
I got it. Okay. So now, you don't know a single person who thought Georgia was going to go 7-5, right, Nolan? You didn't meet a single soul who thought that. That's what you're saying.
No. No, sir.
Okay. But we did meet a bunch of people who wanted Georgia to lose. We did meet a lot of those people, right?
Yep.
Okay. Very good. I was in the building that night, man. That thing was a wrap within 5 minutes. Over. Finished.
Yeah. It was electric, though. It was one of the best games just for me, just to see my guys out there having fun, having a blast. Just this whole season from JC holding up, the quarterback at LSU, I was like, man, I never had more fun just being on the sideline with these guys, and I'm so happy I didn't leave to go train.
Well, and now you are a guy who is atop so many people's draft boards. What is draft night going to be like for you, Nolan? What can you envision right now?
I just envision just me sitting with my mom and my close family, just the people that really got me there, and just envision my mom crying. You know, this has been a goal for me. Just to play in the National Football League. I just always wanted to be a football player, and I played since I was 4. So I just imagine she's just crying, letting it go.
What's she done for you? Walk me through that, Nolan, your mom.
Just everything. You know, that's the reason that I started my camp in Savannah. My mom used to wake me up. We used to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and drive to Atlanta to make registration at 7 after she just worked the long hours. So she's my everything, and I love her to death, and she's one of the reasons that I play this game still like I do to this day.
What's her name?
Shakima Bigham.
Okay. What did she do that she was working all day and drove you? What's her gig?
Well, she used to work at Mmart, so she used to work at a gas station, and she used to do in those little Mmart phone booths.
Mm, sure.
The person that's in there, she used to do the all-night shift, the graveyard shift, and the morning shift. Now she works at South Coast Medical Building, but hopefully, you know, my goal is to retire my mom completely.
And was she on the other end of the phone when you picked it back up at the combine? You told her it was 4.39?
Oh, yeah. As soon as I called her, she said she was just excited to see me run. She said she was happy. She knew that I was mad, but she was just excited to see me run. just because I watched the NFL Combine as a kid, and I used to be one of those kids that had it on all day.
Well, this is a thrill to meet you this way and meet you the way I met you on Thursday night, sitting in the booth and watching you run and then, you know, give it your all and put it all on the line. You got fans here, sir. So good luck to you in your pro day days and your interview days. And I do hope that you will, if you do, come to the draft and in Kansas City, I'll see you. And if not, I'll see you down the line. I greatly appreciate it, Nolan.
Yes, sir. I greatly appreciate you having me on. And one thing, go Dogs.
Okay. Is that the surf part or the turf part of the Dogs?
Oh, yeah, that's both.
Of course it is. Why not? You got two championships. You got surf and turf. I got it. I got you. Thanks again for the call, sure. Nolan. Congrats.
Thanks again for having me. Y'all have a great day.
You got it. That's Nolan Smith, everybody. Who the hell wouldn't want him on their football team? Come on.
He's not going
to get the 14. Who wants Nolan Smith? The answer is everybody.
Can he get to 14?
Do you think, what if he plays for Tomlin?
He's not going to
get out of here.
He's not going to get to 17.
He's not going to get to 17.
He's not going to get past.
Maybe they come get him.
11, 12.
Maybe they come get him. Like they went to go get Devin Bush.
Yeah. Good guy. You just never know.
I mean, he could go in the top 10.
He should go in the top 10.
Should.
If he lit up an interview room the way he just lit up this show.
Very likable.
Oh, gosh. Seven. He's the one who said it. They thought we were going to go 7-5. He's that one.
Nobody thought that.
Nobody thought that.
They had the easiest schedule ever.
I at least made him admit he never met a single person that said they thought we were going 7-5. And he made that one up because that's what Georgia did a few years ago.
Which championship team had the most fake outrage? The Georgia Bulldogs or the Kansas City Chiefs?
Yeah, the Chiefs.
Oh.
Yeah. Right. Well, nobody believed in us.
Fake haters.
I'd go the Bulldogs.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'd go the Bulldogs.
Yeah, because, I mean.
Come on, man. The Chiefs, at least.
There's a chance they weren't going to win.
I raised my hand and said they weren't going to win the division.
Yeah, good point.
So, blame it on me is what I'm saying. I'm the schmuck on wheels, to use the Goodfellas phrase. Let's take a break here. Oh, baby. Mad Dog Russo. He says, what can't Brady retire in peace? This is going to be great. Chrissy! Good spot!
Hey,
baby!
Hi, I'm Allie Raisman. I've been living with migraine for a while. As an athlete and gymnast, I was taught to just power through the pain. Now I use Ubrelvy or Ubrogepant to treat my migraine attacks. As soon as I feel a migraine attack, I take Ubrelvy, which provides me with quick relief. Once I get relief, I go on with my day. I'm partnering with Ubrelvy to share my migraine story.
Ubrelvy quickly stops migraine in its tracks within 2 hours without worrying where you are. Most people had quick pain relief within 2 hours. Ubrelvy treats migraine attacks in adults and is not for prevention. It's available by prescription only. Do not take Ubrelvy with strong CYP3A4 inhibitors. Tell your healthcare provider about all the medicines you take. Most common side effects are nausea and tiredness.
My hope is that by sharing my migraine story and the relief I get from Ubrelvy, it can help someone else.
Ask your doctor about Ubrelvy, the anytime, anywhere migraine medicine. Learn more at Ubrelvy.com or call 844-4-U-B-R-E-L-V-Y. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Youth football is all about style and fun. And the NFL celebrates that through Play Football, an initiative aimed at creating positive experiences for players, coaches, and parents with the goal of preserving and promoting the values of the game. On the football field, kids can continue to grow through teamwork and build trust as leaders. To learn more and to find a league near you, visit playfootball.com. The future of football is here. You in?
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Terrestrial Radio Network, along with Sirius XM and Odyssey and more, joining the live Roku channel stream, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. I love this man. Love listening to him every single day whenever I can on his radio show. He is the star. Move over, Stephen A. Smith. The star of First Take on ESPN. The great legend, Chris Mad Dog Russo, back on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Christopher?
Nice to talk.
Well, you got sponsors for your tables?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Come on.
You are something. The lead man of the NFL Network, who I shortchanged at the Super Bowl, which I will make it up to him.
Come on.
Down the road. How are you, Rich?
I'm fine. You put me on at the end of your program. You had the heart out. I don't care. Anytime I get a chance to talk to you. It's just as well, too, that you had a short amount of time because you only got to list one out of the 10 grievances you have against the NFL that you hold me personally responsible for.
And you handled it well. That was the Steeler one on Christmas Eve when they didn't see the video. And you said the video lasted a minute. They were freezing on the field. You got to get those older players back in warm areas.
Correct.
So you handled that very well.
Thank you, Chris. Very well. How are you? So I saw on First Take yesterday. You said, why don't you leave Tom Brady in peace and retirement? I'm like, I got to get Chris on the program to talk about this.
Oh, that was you who had that original story, did you?
Well, it's not a story. You know, I just like, I went to the combine and. Yeah, have you ever been in a scouting combine, Chris? You ever been to one of them?
I have not.
Okay.
I have not been there. No, I have not.
Imagine the most gossip-filled place you've ever been to in your life, and then multiply it by a factor of 100. That's the NFL scouting combine. And so I decided to give everyone a little sense of the stuff that I got in my ear the best I could, because it was multiple people who said, look out for this, look out for that. And I decided to, there's no other way to describe it, rumor monger. I did that. But this is what people were saying, and I figured I'd throw it out there. So I'm not reporting it that he's coming back. I'm saying there are some people that described to me the scenario in which he would. That's basically it. Does that make sense?
And that would be Miami, I guess, right? Most of all, Miami.
Well, I mean,
the Dolphins were.
Yeah, because if the Dolphins do find the need to replace Tua because he can't answer the bell, heaven forbid, and you got the greatest quarterback of all time sitting in Miami, and he might be sitting there thinking, you know what? I kind of do miss the game, and I could still be the father I want to be by playing for the Dolphins. Then suddenly, now it makes sense why he's not signing a one day with the Patriots or doing a salary cap favor contract with the Bucks. He's a free agent, and he can do it. That's the way it was described to me.
Yeah, I mean, I would be only based on what I saw on Instagram and the fact that, you know, last year he ruined Selection Sunday by announcing his return. And he ended up put us back on February 1st at, you know, almost acknowledging that it changed. It was a real deal. I'm going to go on that more than anything else, and I'm going to think that he is not going to return. It's interesting. You would know more about that football. Listen, and Bruce and Rich is on top of the football. I happen to stroll into a restaurant where they put me in a back table at the Super Bowl, and I could not believe everybody flocking to Rich to just discuss life on the network, meaning Cooper Manning, Trevor Lawrence, Garrett Wilson, E.B. Samuel, Sean Payton, Russell Wilson, the great Montana, and so you would know more than I would, but I would be surprised if he's going to play again. He's going to go get himself embarrassed. The people are going to go crazy. Really, Tom? I mean, it's going to look bad. I understand Miami, concussions, Tua. He got talent. You know, he almost went there originally with Ross, but I would be really, really surprised.
Me too.
I really would.
I would too. I was just, you know, throwing out something I heard. Why are you surprised that people come up to me in a restaurant, Chris? Why would you be surprised?
Oh, you were great that day, at that night. And by the way, one thing about the Brady thing.
Yes.
Remember, I got to do what I'm mad about, and I do the three
yes,
a week.
I saw that.
I had a lot of trouble finding a couple yesterday because, you know, there's no football. There's no baseball at the moment to speak of. I actually threw the WBC in there. So it was hard to find a couple that really were going to stick. I didn't want to do the golf with the LIV because then it's an issue with the PGA Tour. So I was in a tricky spot. So I kind of ran out of a lot of ammunition. So normally I wouldn't have put that in.
Yes.
I put it in, and lo and behold, you watch it. It gets me in trouble.
So but trouble. It's not trouble. It's caused me to say, you know what? I haven't had Chris on the show in a while, and I appreciate you finding the time to do it. I got Chris Mad Dog Russo here on the Rich Eisen Show. You've been around for the Jets forever, man, and here they are going for the Packer legend at the end of his career. I can't believe for a second time. Do you think Rodgers is a good fit for the Jets, Chris?
I do. The Jets need to be sort of irrelevant to such a time. I did not want $100 million for Derek Carr. I think Carr is a championship quarterback. The Jets are in a weird spot with Carr because, yes, he's an improvement, but they're not going to win playoff games with him, I don't think. So as a result of that, if you're going to go after a QB, you might as well go after a QB that gives you a fighting chance in a postseason scenario, and Rodgers does that a lot more than Carr does. You know, the Packers, they can't ask for that much with collateral back. You would know more about that than I would based on being out. Yeah, I wouldn't think they'd have to give up a first round because of where the Packers are. It sounds like they want him out. They got Jordan Love sitting there, and he wants to play for the Jets. But I do think he would help the Jets. I hope he buys in, shows up at the OTAs, gets to know his receivers a little bit, and doesn't show up, you know, a week in his training camp. Here I am. I hope he buys in. But I think that he's got plenty left. I think Rodgers will have a good comeback year. Not that he was that bad last year.
Right.
And I think it's the right move for the Jets. I think you got to do that if you have a chance.
Well, but a lot of stuff that he says outside of the world of football that doesn't get brought up to him in front of his locker by the 10 people in Wisconsin, I think would be by the 50 people in New Jersey, don't you think? Like, that's the one thing.
Yes, I do.
That's the concern.
And I do think, you know, he could get himself in some trouble there. There's no question about it. You know, and there's a lot of reporters here and talk show hosts and everything else. But again, the Jets are so desperate. The fan base is so desperate that as long as he played well in the games, they will put up with everything else. As long as he played well in the ball games, where in fact he, you know, won some, good teammate, didn't sag his shoulders. I mean, they haven't had a quarterback in such a long time. I think that the Jet fan, per se, will look away from that and go out there and deal with it. So I think it's something that's going to happen, Rich. You're much more plugged in than I am.
No.
I have trouble believing that Woody Johnson would have flown out to California if he didn't think this could happen.
Yep.
So I think that you'll see Rodgers at the end of the day be a Jet.
How do you think Daniel Jones is going to fare with him now having a $40 million salary tag over him? You know the New York fan, if you don't... I mean, and also, you know, Eli got paid, but he already had one in the case when he got paid like that.
I mean, they are paying Daniel Jones, and I guess they had to do it based on, you know, where they were as far as the whole thing with Barkley and the franchise tag and everything else. Jones, to me, I am not one who is going to run thinking that because he played pretty well last year, easy schedule, great coach, that all of a sudden now Daniel Jones is going to respond and be this great quarterback. I don't buy that myself. I think last year all things kind of broke right for him. They took advantage of his legs, and they played the AFC South. They played Carolina. They played the NFC. I mean, they played the NFC North and the AFC South. I mean, think about that for a second. I mean, they played Carolina. They played Jacksonville, and they played when they were bad. They played Houston. They played the Colts. I mean, they played a lot of bad teams, which I think helped the Giants with their schedule. I am not convinced that all of a sudden he's now a top 12 quarterback in the NFL. I think the Giants probably had to do it. We'll see. But I do think the love affair could be a brief one. I don't think the Giant fan, if he plays Bailey, is going to forgive him so much myself. I have to be fair.
Doug, Chris, I'm totally with you, man, because if he does not perform at the $40 million price tag, I mean, growing up, I mean, Winfield, right, when he was Mr. May and how much he was getting paid, which is now how much, I guess, Daniel Jones would be making over a two-game span, right? I've seen this before, and I hope he's ready for it, and I hope the Giants can actually make it to a second round of the playoffs. Certainly when Jalen Hurts is doing what he's doing, and he's about to get
good
paid,
point.
You know, in that
good
division.
It's no, good. I know. Listen, we all know the going rate of quarterbacks is that money. So, I mean, they almost had to pay him. I understand what the Giants are doing. They gave him the $82 million guaranteed. Geno got $40 million guaranteed. They were able to slap the tag there, of course, on Barkley, which maybe they weren't going to be able to do. But I am one. I don't think Jones is that good. So, I mean, I am still under the belief that I got to see this again. And he played well last year.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to have to see it again as a fan to think that Daniel Jones is a, what, top 10, top 11 quarterback. He was at sort of borderline this year. I look at him more in that 15 category than I look at number 10. And for $40 million, I think you'd like to get a better quarterback than a top 15 guy. We shall see.
Couple more minutes left with Chris Mad Dog Russo here on the Rich Eisen Show. What do you think of the pitch clock, Chris? What do you think in baseball?
I think it's worked out well. I haven't watched that many training spring training games.
Right.
But I think so far, I had Brian Snitker on radio. I taped him.
Yep.
The Brave manager today. He loved it. He thinks it's going to be a big plus. He thinks you'll see a lot more singles
good.
In the sport. So with the shift now being banned, he also thinks you'll see more stolen bases. Based on no more throws, you know, incessantly to first base, and the bag is a little bigger. He liked the rules. I think, listen, if you can shave 30 minutes off that clock, thank God. The games are way too long. So I think this was something that baseball had to do. And it sounds like, listen, early returns, Rich, it's a big difference to enforce these batter box, shenanigans and pitchers throwing the ball at the clock behind them. You could do it on March 8th. Let me see you do it in the middle of July in a pennant race at Yankee Stadium in front of 50,000.
No doubt. So, I mean, Giants.
You got to keep that in mind.
Can you imagine Giants Dodgers? Your Giants against the Dodgers Sunday night. Whole country's watching on ESPN, or as many that watch on Sunday nights on ESPN. Yankees Red Sox, and there's a walk off pitch clock violation. Get out of here. You know, like, seriously.
Like we had in that first spring training.
Get out of here. I understand they're probably, over officiating this right now. Just like the NFL does with a new emphasis on holding and things like that in the preseason. And we all go crazy. And then players adjust and umpires adjust or refs adjust. I don't know, though. A walk-off pitch clock violation in a big game. Can you imagine? I don't care.
Let's see if they use some common sense. But listen, something had to be done. The games are way too long and too tedious. I mean, think about it. A football game is theoretically about 3 hours and 10 minutes, and that was the length of a baseball game. Football they play 18. Baseball they play 162. So something had to be done. I happen to think maybe this will work out. Baseball needs some good luck. Hopefully this works out and we can have ourselves a season that's a little more brevity-oriented instead of tedious as far as the length of these games go.
Chris Mad Dog Russo, you're the man. How long are you going to keep doing First Take? It's fun to watch you. What are you thinking? How long you want to do?
They've been good to me.
Yeah.
Stephen A. is good to me.
Yeah.
There's no way I would not do it if they wanted me back.
Yeah.
So I would suspect, at least for the time being, that I'll be part of the family there.
When are you going to host?
You know that family well.
Yeah, I do. When are you going to host SportsCenter? When are you going to be a SportsCenter host, Chris?
That I'm not going to do. I have to know my limitations. I'm not
that good.
I
don't know. I mean, I'd love to see you do a highlight or two. I think you should. You can expand the roster. You can expand it. You can do it.
You're funny. How's LA? How's Southern California? Things good?
Oh, things well. I mean, the Lakers are wondering if they're going to make it. The Clippers are kind of hanging in there. Dodger fans are already putting their napkins into their shirt with their fork and knife, thinking Ohtani's going to come here. I know that any Dodger fan would say
that. I know he might go to the Mets.
I mean,
keep that in mind.
I've never seen an owner like the Mets owner. By the way, I can't believe the Mets have gone from looking underneath their couch cushion for change to an owner that says, what luxury tax bill? The luxury tax bill, I think, is the amount of an entire payroll of a third of Major League Baseball teams, Chris. I can't believe that.
$364 million payroll. He's got Rembrandts in his bathroom, Steve Cohen does. And so as a result of that, he grew up in out in Long Island as a huge Mets fan as a kid.
Yeah.
And he's 68 years of age, and he's worth $15 billion. You put all that in the mix, you don't care about spending an extra $30, $40 million on luxury taxes, I can promise you.
Yeah, you're making Super Bowl commercials for the Mets. I don't know.
Exactly, which they did.
I know.
Good point, Rich.
When has that ever happened? They never used to do that.
The first time they did those 30-second spots. I think it may have just aired in New York. I'm not sure if that was just a local spot.
No.
But, I mean, think about it for a second. They did a hell of a – and by the way,
Speaking
of the Super Bowl, myself, I hated that call. Third and eight. You can't make that call there on third and eight.
I was with you too. If there was no call on that, I mean, all you have to do is look back at it. and you see Juju Smith-Schuster's body language, he wasn't going crazy in the end zone, hopping up and down. He was ready to run back to the sideline thinking that's that play.
Good point.
All over.
Good point.
I thought the same thing, too.
You can't end the season on that call. When you're throwing the flag there, you are ending the football season and ending that game. And you know if you leave it alone, the Eagles, well, at the worst, you can get an overtime. So that was I hated the call. I couldn't stand the call. I hate those kind of calls. If it was egregious a la Saints-Rams, I got no problem with it. Obviously, that was not egregious. I hated the call.
Chris,
couldn't stand it.
Thanks for the call. Let's do this again more often if you're up for it. I will do that, Chris.
Okay, buddy.
Great spot, Chrissy. Thank you.
Good spot. Good spot.
It's a great spot. I think it was a great spot. Thanks, Chris. You take care. The great one and only Chris Mad Dog Russo.
So good.
How about him saying, why is he so surprised people come up to me in a restaurant? What's up with that?
Well, listen to the names he listed off. I think we're all a little surprised,
by the way,
too.
Like, they all
came to kiss the ring or something?
By the way, I must admit, okay, full disclosure here. This was the Wheels Up party at the Super Bowl. I had a table. I was sitting at this table. It was up at the front. It was up at the front. Okay. He arrived later. He was in the back. And it wasn't like I'm sitting there and Trevor Lawrence is coming up walking to me. Okay. I got up. You know, it's one of those things. No, it's one of those things where I say hello to this person at this table. It's right behind me. He's at a table. Cooper Manning was at the table right behind that table. Okay. We lock eyes. Cooper Manning gives me the head nod. Of course I'm going up to him. And I went to, and I told Cooper. I told him, hey, you're the star of those commercials, which he is.
He is.
Okay. So I say hello to him. On the table behind him, there's Trevor Lawrence and Alex Smith and Garrett Wilson. And I said hello to all of them. And I went around like it was my wedding and my bar mitzvah.
You went around.
So it's not like I sat there. And all of a sudden, you know, it's like Luca Brasi coming up on the day of my daughter's wedding. I just want to make sure that everyone understands what the scene was here.
So you mean that
Trevor Lawrence wasn't... Or I could have left this alone and said, yeah, they all came up to
me. You mean T-Law wasn't sitting there, like, rehearsing what he was going to say to you as he approached you?
It was like Game of Thrones. Everyone was bending the knee.
Yeah. Paying their respects to the Dom.
Before they called in, he's just pacing.
God, Richie, I appreciate you giving me time here on your Super Bowl weekend.
Duval.
I appreciate you believing in me when I threw 4 interceptions in the first half. He almost slept with the fishes that night.
Yeah.
And guess what, though?
But other than that, he surprised people, you know. I'm saying hello to everyone. I've been around this business. I've been around the block.
Hey,
I don't share shoes no more.
Hey,
but we just figured you might have shared one of those stories with us when you got back too, and you never.
Well, I told you about
it.
The Wheels Up dinner.
I don't think I.
That's the one. Yes, that's the one where Sean Payton was sitting with Russell Wilson for the first time.
Okay. But you didn't.
They were at a table right next to us.
You didn't mention that your ring was getting smooched all night.
My ring was not getting smooched. I enjoyed the evening. I had a good time. I knew a lot of people in the room. They knew me. You know who was there too? Jesse Palmer.
Oh.
And all we talked about was how wild his story about his bachelor appearance years ago with Tom Coughlin went viral. He said his phone blew up all week of people talking about that story to him.
Great story.
Great story. And at that point, Baker Mayfield walked up.
So many names
to
pick up right now.
No, I'm just telling you, it's a Wheels Up party for you at the Super Bowl. It's a hell of a night.
Wheels Up's great.
Man, must be nice to get invited to those things.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
Great job on the fly, Smitch. There it is for
that's
the radio
amazing.
Audience. That's me
good.
Pacino's face getting ready to tell Fredo it was, you broke my heart. You broke my heart. By the way, that was when the Cuban government was really falling apart. That night was wild. I had to go. I had to run. I had to go. I had to get out. Right?
You had an out. Wow. I got an out.
That night, I could tell you about that party for days.
There's so much happening.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your phone calls. Matthew Reese is joining us here in studio hour three. That's going to be great. When we come back, we'll set off Chris Brockman.
Oh. All right.
Oh, yeah. You got a new basketball coach in your collegiate world.
No, I'm happy.
Unless he's coming back, because it didn't sound like he retired. Rich Eisen here. At U.S. Cellular, they know phones are great, but they're not always so great for us. Sure, they connect us to so much, but they also distract us from, well, us. The us that actually laughs out loud with each other instead of just texting it. That knows being in the same room doesn't always mean being together. So let's find us again by putting our phones down for 5 days, 5 hours, even 5 minutes. Join U.S. Cellular in the Phones Down for 5 Challenge. Find out more at uscellular.com/findus. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Monster.com can help you win the job hunt, folks. If you are looking for a new gig, many of you might be, go to Monster.com, take your resume, upload it there, because you can be already recruited on the spot by employers before they even post their jobs. And then employers check out the millions of resumes that are there, millions of job openings, great coaching and career advice. And guess what? Your resume stands out because Monster.com specializes in building the right teams for employers and knows how to match you with those job fits. When you score the position, Monster.com's salary calculator ensures you're paid what you're worth. The regular season is history. And we all know, as we know, the playoffs, this is that time of year where you got to step your game up. Your A game's brought to bear when you go to Monster.com. Win your job hunt by using Monster.com right now. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. Let's go to Rob in Austin, Texas. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Rob?
Hey, how's it going, Rich? How's it going, guys?
We're good. What's going on in your mind?
I got a question here about sources coming off the combine and free agency reports. So kind of just a broader question is, how do you guys, as sports journalists in the industry as a whole, kind of put some validity to sources? And what kind of sparked this in my mind was, I think Peter King yesterday maybe came in and he said something along the lines of, like, someone at the combine said to me that a very good friend of one of the three Jets decision makers, his good friend, has not returned to call in 2 months. That's like so many degrees removed from something. So how
no, it's just that somebody's a good friend of the Jets general manager had not received a phone call from him in 2 months, meaning he's laying low. And he's trying not to even say anything to anybody, including his good friends. Does that make sense?
No, I totally understood what he was saying. I guess I was just questioning about sources, not questioning Peter King specifically, just in general. I guess what prevents people from just, you know, I could make breaking news.
Could you? Go for it, Rob.
I do all the time. My kids don't like it, though. They're just like, no, Dad. I heard different on the playground, Dad.
Okay. All right. Look, it's just, you know, there are people in the business, and thanks for the call, Rob, who you should, I don't know. I mean, when I'm going around and I hear things, there are people who you trust because they're in on the information. And when I was rumor mongering earlier this week, stepping out of taking my Northwestern Medill School of Journalism degree and placing it off the wall for a moment. It's in the green room right now.
I've seen
it. Right behind Matthew Reese, who's in our green room right now. Sure. I can't wait to chat with him from Perry Mason and the Americans and so much more. Also, Cocaine Bear.
Most importantly.
For a very, very brief bit. But without him throwing the cocaine out of the plane.
There's no
bear. By the way, and in Cocaine Bear, you've seen it.
I've seen it.
I've seen it. You've seen it now.
I've seen it now.
We can all confirm in Cocaine Bear. The bear
loves cocaine.
Loves cocaine.
Loves cocaine.
Loves it.
Can't get enough of it. Bad reaction to it.
Maybe that was a normal reaction. I really don't
like,
know.
Don't trust the cocaine bear.
Aggressive reaction.
When they're telling you some rumor about the NFL. So I'd like to have a new segment here called Triggering Chris Brockman. That's the new, I think that's what we're coming up with.
You can't trigger me today, Rich Eisen.
Oh, we can. Oh, we can. Your beloved Syracuse Orange program.
Yep.
That in 1969, the year I was born, 53 years ago, in seasons, 54, I guess, calendar years, brought upon a graduate assistant to the basketball program. His name was Jim Boeheim.
Yep.
Then in 1976, he went from graduate assistant to head of the program, head coach. And the legend was born. He's a Hall of Famer, and he is one of the greatest basketball coaches of all time. Would you agree to that, Christopher? One of the greatest basketball coaches of all time, right?
I would. He's in the Hall of Fame.
He is, for a reason.
Second all-time college wins.
But you believe he overstayed his welcome.
Very, very much so.
Okay. And yesterday, after losing to Wake Forest.
On a buzzer beater.
not Madison Square Garden, wherever the ACC tournament is. Like, they shouldn't be in the ACC.
Yeah. That's another
decision. It was announced that he's retiring. You tell me if this sounds like a man who retired from his job. Oh, yes.
This is great.
This is the post-game. This is the weirdest retirement announcement in the history of retirements and announcements. Check it out.
You're going to retire?
This is up to the university.
You want to come back?
I didn't say that.
Okay, but so what are you saying? You're not saying you're retiring, but you're not saying...
I said it. I don't know.
So you don't know. Okay.
I said this is up to the university.
And you're not sure whether you're... How will you make a determination about when you will come back?
You're talking to the wrong guy.
This guy.
The guy would be John Wildhack, who I used to work with at ESPN. Hey. He was an executective at ESPN program department, I believe.
Well, I got to Syracuse in the fall of 98.
He's the athletic director.
I've been now in Kent Savard. I think I said that right.
Yes.
The chancellor. I've been a Syracuse person now for 25 years. The two previous greatest days in my Syracuse fandom, championship of 2003, and when we miraculously made the 2016 Final Four, we upset Virginia in Chicago. I was there. Yesterday is now the greatest day of my Syracuse fandom. Okay? This guy is so miserable. There was a succession plan in place years and years and years ago.
Yeah, I don't think he was part of that plan.
For Mike Hopkins. He was. He announced the plan that he was going to stay three more seasons and Mike Hopkins was going to take over his longtime A1 assistant. Then all of a sudden, Jim was like, you know what? I want to keep coaching.
Yeah.
And then Coach Hop left for Washington and turned them into a perennial tournament team. We have now struggled and been in mediocrity now for over a decade, minus the miraculous run in 16.
Yeah.
Okay? We're irrelevant when it comes to big-time college basketball now, and it's because he would not leave. I am so happy, along with every other alumni that I've talked to today. We are so ecstatic that now Adrian Autry, former player, played for Jim in the early 90s.
Yes.
He's being introduced tomorrow at 10 a.m. as the new head coach. Could not be more excited for a new direction, a new voice, and a new face of the program. Today is a great day.
Great retirement. Great, great, great job.
Great. See you later.
Does he sound triggered to you?
I mean, maybe a little.
Mm.
No, I wouldn't say triggered.
We got to pilot the program with something that triggers something a little bit more than that.
I was triggered more about Grant
Matthew
Williams.
Reese coming up.
Yeah, that's
triggered
true.
More about what? Grant Williams? Oh, that was 2 days ago. You want him cut.
But, Rich, Chris and I were talking about this Jimmy Boeheim thing this morning. Yes. I kind of told him it kind of made me sad a little bit because even though I know the Big East as we grew up and knew it is no longer, and it's been gone for a while. But
his last game was against Wake Forest in the ACC tournament. Yeah. Those days are long ago where he was battling it out with Lou Carnesecca.
It is long gone, but the fact is every time I see him, I think John Thompson, and I think Carnesecca, and I think Rolly Massimino, and it kind of gave me that thing to hold on to, and now he's gone. It's like, all right, our childhood's officially over.
What do you think of?
I see Jim Boeheim?
Yeah.
Guy picking his nose and yelling at officials. And being a miserable prick. That guy was a dick.
Yes! Wow. Stop! Wow. Come on, Chris.
Look at his press conference yesterday. And then he makes some offhand comment about, I gave my retirement speech on the court on Saturday. Did you? We all missed it, bro.
See, now he's triggered.
See, I would say something.
The radio audience goes away and he feels like he could work blue on the Roku channel.
I would say something about you getting mad at me saying the Jason Tatum's son's name yesterday, but not this. But you did attempt to trigger him, so can't get mad at him for that.
Segment, everybody. It's a new segment.
I'm glad that he's gone, and he hope he never comes back.
He should be at the new coach's press conference tomorrow to end all of this.
No.
You don't think he'll be there?
I don't care.
There you go.
It's not about him anymore. It's over.
New segment, Triggering Chris Brockman. Hour 3, Matthew Reese coming up.
No one in the wrestling business has experienced the trials and tribulations, along with redemptions and longevity, quite like Jeff Jarrett. Come along for the ride on the My World with Jeff Jarrett podcast.
They didn't really brand belts in the heyday of boxing. You know, Muhammad Ali, Sugar Ray Leonard. I mean, they had them, but along comes sports entertainment, professional wrestling, and now it is truly a part of pop culture. They've just branded what it looks like to be a champion.
My World with Jeff Jarrett, wherever you listen.